Now, with that kind of a preliminary to this study, we come to Psalm 42, which is the heart cry of the remnant in the last days, the great tribulation period. And it's applicable to the redeemed of all ages. Now, will you notice as we get into this section? And by the way, I ought to add something else here. This would deliver us from this terrible thing of excluding Israel from the plan and purpose of God for the future, in which it's booked so large in the Word of God. It's almost like writing off a certain portion of the Word of God and saying, yes, I believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures, but what I mean are the Scriptures that apply to me. And if they apply to some other people, especially if I'm not too much concerned about them, I don't think that's the Word of God, other than as I apply it to myself. I feel like that's a grave danger today on the part of many. Now you have in Psalm 42 the future suffering of the godly during the great tribulation period. Now you remember they were down in the land of Egypt. God first redeemed them by blood, the night that the death angel went over and the blood was on the doorpost. It was redemption by blood when the Passover lamb was offered. But there's a second phase of redemption, and that was at the Red Sea, and that is redemption by power. And here you have, by the way, that redemption before us, the redemption at that time. Now, these people are away from their land, and this is the remnant of Israel. And another thing, I'm putting in a lot of introduction here, but I think this is important to understand these Psalms. Another, I think, very wonderful thing for us to see is that though these Psalms have a wonderful application for you and me, that we need to recognize that it is primarily for the remnant, but when we say the remnant, we don't mean the whole nation. There are these two things we need to keep in mind. When you say Israel, the chosen people, you're always talking about the remnant, not the nation as a whole. And friends, when you say the church, what do you mean? All of these denominations and churches, and you add up the roll and that's the church? No, my friend, I don't think so. The church is made up of the body of believers that are in Christ, and they don't get there by having their names put on a church roll or joining a church or going through a ceremony, but a personal relationship to Christ. So we ought to always make a distinction between the organized church, the outward church, visible church, as it's generally called, and the invisible. And I always said the invisible church was invisible too much on Sunday nights and in the middle of the week. And a great many people thought that was the invisible church. But the invisible church is visible, I think, when you're studying the Word of God. I used to say that the Word of God is a Geiger counter. You want to know whether there is uranium in them thar hills, friends, you use a Geiger counter. Now, if you want to know whether a person is genuine, put the Word of God down on them. And I found out if they're not, nothing will happen. But if they become interested in the Word of God and that little arrow on that Geiger counter just begins to jump up and down, they want to know the Word of God. I say there's uranium and there's really a born-again child of God. I think you'll find that to be a good rule to follow. So that we are talking now about the remnant. And here's another maskil psalm in Psalm 42. That means a psalm of understanding, a psalm of teaching, and it's of the sons of Korah. Now, you will recall that Korah led a rebellion, and he was a great-grandson of Levi. And actually, God executed him on account of the rebellion he led against Moses and Aaron. But you see, that didn't fall on his sons. And God made it very clear back in the book of Numbers that his sons did not die. And therefore, they are to stand alone. Now here, they are the ones that wrote these psalms, and they're quite wonderful. Now, will you notice that We have here this prophetic picture now, the great tribulation period. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, I don't want to go back to Egypt again. I want to look to the future, because this will be a time when these people will be out of the land again. And there's the belief of several Bible expositors today, and they are quite excellent, by the way. I couldn't hold a light to any one of them. They believe that the present regathering of Israel in the land may eventuate in their dispersion again, and that they'll be put out of the land again, maybe in our day. I do not know that, but I want to say this. The godly remnant is out of the land, and very few of them will be back in the land. And today, you find in that land two groups. You find what we would call the Orthodox Jew, looking for their Messiah, expecting him to come, wanting the temple rebuilt. Then you find another group that are not particularly concerned with that at all. They say those days are past, we're moving in a new era, and we have Egypt to contend with, and the United Nations, and so on and so forth. And the Arabs are today our big problem, and all of that. May I say to you that the godly remnant of these people will have a longing for God. Now, this is a picture I always give of David. It's a good picture of him. I think it's been a good picture of God's people any time. And I think David could have easily have said this, lying up in a cave and looking out over the valley. And as he did, he hears the hunters and the barking of the dogs. And in a few minutes, there is a rustle in the bushes, and David's men become alert that are on guard duty. And then that breaks through into the little opening by the spring there at the mouth of this cave in which David is. This little animal, this little deer, and the little deer is foaming at the mouth, so thirsty, and the little sides are lathered and foamed, and he plunges his little head down in the water, takes a good deep drink, and then waits a moment, and the head goes down again. And therefore the psalmist could say, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Is that the way you feel about him today? We hear so much, well, if you become very legalistic, keep the Ten Commandments, you're pleasing to God. My friend, man's alienated from God. He needs more than the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments just shows we're sinners, but we're alienated in rebellion against God. We not only have no desire for him, we have no capacity for him. And we need, therefore, to be born again, brought back into the family of God, and brought to the place where we can say it, not just as a verse in Scripture, but from our hearts, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. It'll be meaningful in that day for this remnant away from God out of the land. It's meaningful right now to many of God's children. Now, listen to him. This is the remnant, and there was much weeping down in the brickyards of Egypt. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And that'll be the thing that they'll say in the great tribulation period, where is the sign of his coming? All things continue as they were. And then verse 5, notice this, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And this is the hope. And then listen to the cry, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermons and from the hill of Mizra. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. That was the language Jonah used in his prayer. Jonah went down into the jaws of death. And these people will think at this time that it's all up, that they're going to be destroyed during this period. But God will come. God will deliver. We are told here, verse 8, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I say unto my God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? And do you feel like that sometime? I'm sure many of us do, but He has not. And verse 11, and I conclude with this, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Why? Well, that's a good question. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. In his desperate hour, you see, he turns to God. No help from the east or west, north or south. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.